You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, last week we taught on that you can know the will of God. You can understand God. I think in a lot of cases, and many times churches are guilty of this, and preachers are guilty of this, and I are one. So I'm not blasting preachers, not blasting churches. We're pro-church, we're pro-preachers. You know, anytime I get up and criticize, you have to believe that ministers, churches are trying to do the right thing. And if they're wrong intellectually, not necessarily in their heart. Now, I know there are some bad churches and there are some bad preachers, but I think for the most part, if you walk in their shoes, they're trying to do the right thing. They want to say the right thing. They may be misinformed. Are you with me? They may have been taught wrong, trained wrong, but they're really honestly trying to do the right thing. So anytime we criticize a teaching, we're not blasting a church, we're not blasting a denomination, we're not blasting people, we're not blasting you. Good. Are you with me? Your heart can be right, your head can be completely messed up. A couple of y'all got that, you know. So I think there's some fine churches and great people that teach that God just unknowable. You just can't know him. I mean, you can get saved. That's about it. You never know what God's going to do. And they mean it with all sincerity, and their heart's right in that sense, but I just believe they're intellectually and biblically wrong. Because you can't know the will of God. Now, you can't know everything about God. He's too complex and too great to understand everything about him. We couldn't ever attain all the knowledge of God. But God's not sporadic, and he's not schizophrenic, and he's not good one day and bad the next day. He doesn't love us one day and hate us the next day. There are some things about God that never change. He does not change. He does have our best interest in mind. He did give us his word. Amen. For a reason, for an intent, for a purpose. Why are there so many things in here? Because these are things he wants us to know. That alone tells me he wants me to know his will to some degree. Because I have all these scriptures, I have all these books. Hallelujah. The anointing kick in, my volume went way up. Okay. And we know from the scripture in Ephesians, in fact, turn to Ephesians, fifth chapter, we'll start there. We went over this last week. I'm just going to hit the main verses and go into some other things. You know, I think sometimes we just go through life and think, well, you know, never know what the Lord's going to do. You never know. Well, there's a lot I don't know he's going to do, but there's several things I know he does do. And will always do. He'll always stand with me. He'll always love me. He'll always forgive me. He'll always help me. Amen? He'll always answer my prayers. If I pray the word, if I pray his promises, I know he'll do that. Maybe I don't know everything about God, but I know some things about him. I know he doesn't change. Amen. You don't have to know everything about God to know that he loves you. You don't have to know everything about God to know that he has your best interest in mind. You don't have to know everything about God to know that he wants you to succeed in your marriage and your business and whatever the case may be. That doesn't mean you're going to succeed. Doesn't mean you're going to have a good marriage. But you can write it down. God wants you to have a good marriage. Amen. Are you with me? And he does want to bless you. There's no question about that. There are conditions. There are things that we have to do. But his will is not in question. God doesn't all of a sudden want you to have a bad marriage, want you to fail at doing good things. No, God never has changed. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to make it. Doesn't mean we're going to, because we're not perfect. In no way are we teaching that, in teaching, believing God and standing on the word, are we teaching that you will never, ever fail and you'll never, ever have a problem and everything's going to be just perfect the rest of your life. No, we're working at this thing. Got an amen? And that's right. But God's not the problem. He's given us instruction after instruction. He didn't say, serve me, and it'll be the worst day of your life. He didn't say, listen to my voice, and if you do, you are in for misery, pain, agony on end. It is hee-haw all over again. No, actually, he said just the opposite of that. He said, if you'll listen to my voice and do what's right in my sight, then all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Amen? Didn't he say that? I mean, he said he's merciful to the merciful, and you know, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. My, the Bible's filled with conditions and promises and rewards and, you know, and recompense for what you do. Hallelujah. So what's wrong? Well, there's only three players here. It's you, God, and the devil. And it's not always the devil. Sometimes it's just you.
Amen.
And me. And that's why we go to church. That's why we read and we study and we pray. That's why we repent. That's why we examine ourselves, because we need to improve ourselves. We need to work on some things. Attitudes, pride, ways of doing things, and so on and so forth. But God's not that hard to understand, I mean, as far as what He wants for our life. Now, I realize when you get into callings and, you know, whether you should be in this ministry or that ministry, it's a little deeper than that. But when you're talking about just living your life out, it's really pretty simple. God wants you to love people. He wants you to forgive people. He wants you to live holy and be a witness.
Amen.
He wants to bless the work of your hand. He wants your marriage to make it if you do the things He tells you to do. That's not complicated. God hasn't got, you're not a special person that God just wants to, you know, crush like a bug every once in a while and just slap you around. And, you know, He's up in heaven saying, you know, Fred, I don't know why I don't like Fred. I just have a real problem with Fred. I like to beat him around a little bit every once in a while. I don't know what it is about Fred. He just makes me mad. You know, I mean, God doesn't think like that. He loves all of us the same. God loves you, Fred. You know that. Okay. He's on your side, man. Okay. So, you know, there's some things we can't understand. Maybe we don't know everything. Just like you go to a doctor, you don't know everything about a doctor and all that he knows and all the training he's had and the years of study and, my goodness, you know, 8, 10 years of specialist training that he's had to fix your problem, as it were. But you know this, you know that if you go in there and you submit to him because of his experience and track record and his training, although you don't know all he knows, you know he's there to help you, and you know if you'll do what he says, all things being equal, you'll come out better than you went in. You know he's not there to make you worse. He's there to make you better. You take a car in, you get it worked on, you don't know everything about an engine. That's why you go to the mechanic. You can't take the thing apart and put it back together, but the mechanic can do that, and that's what the mechanic is there for. You don't know everything he knows, but you know enough about him to know that he's there to fix your car.
Amen.
Are you with me? So, you know, believing God and trusting God and knowing God and His will doesn't mean we know every detail, but we know His overall will. I don't know how they make double dip. I like those double dip, the double dip chocolate cones at Dairy Queen. Put that chocolate on there. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I don't know. That machine, you just pull that lip, boy, and then they pour the chocolate. And I just know that if I go to that little speaker and I say, hey, give me a double dip chocolate. I want one right now. And I pull up to this window. Magically, this thing appears. Now, I don't understand everything. But I know that works. I've done that before. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. It was too smooth when the way I did that. Yeah. I've had experience in that area. That's obvious. So. Whoa. But, you know, and we often struggle with this. Isn't this amazing? We struggle with, well, I just don't know this, and I don't know. Well, listen, all you got to do is believe God. You don't have to know everything. But how is he going to, well, I don't know how he does that. I just know he does. I flip the switch, the light comes on. You may not know how to wire a switch or a breaker box. Maybe you do. You probably don't know how to build a substation, a power station, though, do you? But, you know, it's all connected. It's all back in there working somehow, and you flip the switch and the light comes on. That's really about all you need to know. You don't need to know everything. How could you ever know everything about God? You can't, and who cares? Who would want to know everything about God? It's too much. My brain couldn't hold that kind of information. But I can know this. I can know this much. I can know if I call upon Him, I'll be saved. He says that. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that much. I know He's for me, not against me. I know if God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. I know He's got my best interest in mind. I know that. I know that if I obey Him and serve Him and trust Him, hallelujah, He'll bless me.
Amen.
So I can understand some of His will. Now, come on, let's don't get the idea that you never know what the Lord was going to do. We know a lot of what the Lord's going to do. We don't know a lot about how He does it. We don't know all the details, but we know what He does. We even know why He does it. Because He loves us. Praise God. Ephesians 5, found it? Notice what it says in the 17th verse. It says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wow. Isn't that good? Now He's telling us we should know what the will of the Lord is. We are supposed to know His will. You know what's God's will you be saved? It's God's will you go to heaven, not hell. It's God's will you love people. It's God's will you live holy. It's God's will you be a witness. It's God's will you be a good husband, good wife, good father, good mother, good brother, good sister. We know a lot of the will of God, or we should. It's not a mystery. God doesn't change the rules all of a sudden in midstream. He doesn't just wake up one morning and decide He wants you to hate your wife. Thank God. Wants you to leave your wife, leave your husband. No. Let's just stay. Keep it simple. Now, we can mess up, and there's forgiveness. Stay with me. And in a marriage, there's two parties. So some people in here today have been gone through divorces and remarried, and I understand that. And God's a forgiving God and a God of 1,000 chances, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's a God of 1,000 chances. Thank God. But I think in some cases we probably could admit that, you know, we sinned, or maybe the other party sinned. Sometimes it wasn't our fault. But one thing for sure, it wasn't God's will. Got a couple amens on that one. Hey, we're not, you know, pointing fingers here. Goodness, we would have to empty the house if we said, whoever sinned, here, leave. And here I'd be all by myself. Quit. I'd be the first one out the door. What are you talking about? There's forgiveness. Hallelujah. And I understand that's the will of the Lord. He wants to forgive me. He wants me to get it right and start over again. Hallelujah. Okay. So He says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And of course, He talks about some things about submitting to one another, loving one another. Those are things that we would say would be the will of God. Don't assert yourself. Help others. Bless others. Live for others. Pray for others. Do things that are going to help other people. Amen. Think about how you can bless suffering, sighing, dying humanity. Think about ways you can help your brother and help your sister. That's the will of God. God's will is for you to get out of yourself. Yep. I love that. Get out of yourself, and you know what? Find yourself in so doing. Amen. You'll find yourself in helping others. Yes. You'll find yourself in lifting others and loving others and blessing others. That's God's will. Get out of yourself. See, you're trying to hold on to your little space and your little time and all. This is my time. This is my space. This is me. It's all about me. It's all. And in so doing, you're just losing yourself. You're isolating yourself. You're disappearing, really. But if you'll break out of that and say, I'm going to help someone, I'm going to love someone, I'm going to pray for someone, I'm going to lift someone, I'm going to find someone I can help, all of a sudden you come alive and you find yourself. This is the will of God, that you help others. That's what Jesus did. That's what God does and helps people. Amen? He's in that kind of business. Hallelujah. Then we went over to Isaiah 55. Now, you know, although I'm using some of the same scriptures, I'm bringing out other points, so don't accuse me of repeating over and over. Although it would be true. But, you know, teachers repeat things because the students aren't getting, you know, we need to hear this over and over, amen? Actually, we got into Isaiah 55. Many times this scripture is used about my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, and God's not talking about us Christians, believers, not knowing His thoughts, knowing His ways. He's talking about unrighteous and wicked people not knowing His ways and His thoughts. And that's the whole context. He says, let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let them return unto me and I will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Are you with me? He wasn't saying, this is not a scripture for us to quote, to say that we can never know God's ways and we can never know His thoughts and His thoughts aren't our thoughts. All you're saying when you say His thoughts aren't my thoughts, His ways aren't my ways, is that you're wicked and unrighteous and you need to repent, you old filthy sinner. But, well, that's all you're saying because that's the context of it. The context is repent of your wickedness and unrighteousness. Because God's ways and His thoughts are not wicked and His ways and His thoughts are not unrighteous. often hear people quote that. Well, His ways are our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Well, you ought to repent then. If they're not, you need to get your thoughts in line with His thoughts. You need to get your ways in line with His ways then, because that's not a good thing to be saying that. He was getting on to them about not thinking His thoughts and walking in His ways. He told them if they would repent and return, he'd pardon, abundantly pardon them. And then He explained what His ways were, and He said in the 10th verse, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and watereth the earth and maketh it bud, bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, that shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God's ways and God's thoughts are real simple. They are thoughts and ways to prosper you, to multiply you, to bless you, just like the rain causes the ground to bring forth and bud and increase and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be. This is God's ways. Here we're getting into the will of God now. We're finding His ways. His ways are real simple. They're about others. They're about helping other people. They're about blessing people. They're about multiplying people. Wow. Man, what's God's will for me? He wants to bless you. He really does. What's His will for you? He wants to multiply you. That's His will. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God's will is to help you. In fact, until you find Him, you really don't have help yet. I was helpless till I got to Jesus. I was hopeless till I got to Jesus. And when I found Him, I found hope and I found help.
Amen.
And I found myself. When I gave myself to Him, He gave me back Himself. And me thrown into. I love that. You know, if you just go after this earth, you're going to miss this earth. You're going to lose this earth and heaven too. But if you go after heaven, you're going to get heaven and earth thrown in free. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things be added to you. Amen. Putting Him first and see, putting others first. Seek out, reach out to Him. And you'll find yourself. Reach out to others. Bless others. Love others. Help others. And you know, every outreach we do in this church, when you think about it, it just blesses our church that much more. In one sense, it actually gives us more influence in our community. Do you know that? We have more in any church in any community that reaches out to that community, just takes their influence level way up another notch. And what for? To preach the gospel. So they'll have an ear and listen when we tell them about the Lord. Where did that come from? It came from walking in God's ways and thinking God's thoughts. Not necessarily trying to build our church. We're just trying to build the community. We're trying to help the world.
Amen.
We're giving to missions. You know, the more we give to missions, the more God blesses us.
Yes.
This is the will of God. This is God's will. God's will is that I give myself to people. God's will is that I help people. God's will is that I love people, increase people, multiply people. These are God's thoughts and these are God's ways. Oh, hallelujah. And the more we do that, the more He blesses us. You know, I've told the story over and over. You know, I used to walk out here and just pace and pray over property and over concrete, just everything. You know, I'd call it in. I'd just get out there and, Father, I'd thank You in Jesus' name, you know, for that property back there. I know we need that to fulfill the vision You have in our heart to reach this world, reach this community. I just call that land in Jesus' name. And then we'd start pouring concrete. We didn't have the money. We just had money to pour a section and I'd call in the next section. I'd just pace and pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. I'd pray in English as best I knew, and then I'd pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues, and I'd just pace and pray and pace and pray. And God spoke to me one day, and He said, just as clear as a bell in my spirit. I mean, I didn't, not an audible voice, but inside. He said, son, you keep supporting missions like you're doing, and you can have all the concrete you want. Really, it just burned in my spirit. He said that. It's just as plain as day, like He said it yesterday. It was years ago when He said that. And that's really been our fundraising program. That's always been our pledge and stewardship program. We just always give money. We support missions. And we got buildings to build, so we need to give more to missions.
Amen.
In a town our size, in a church our size, it's just supernatural what we give. When you think of over $100,000 a year and over $1 million in the last 10 years we've given to missions. We do Hallelujah Night Free. That costs thousands of dollars just to do that. But we do it to bless the community so kids can hear about Jesus, children who have never been to church, never have an opportunity to hear about him. They're surrounded by his presence. Every booth's about Jesus. The music's about the Lord. Hallelujah. And they realize, you know what? You can have fun serving Jesus. Amen? And it's worth it. And we do that and we reach out. And you know what? That's given us influence in our community. In a good way. I mean, thank God that it's given us influence. We won the Citizen of the Year Award because of Hallelujah Night. What church has won the Citizen of the Year Award? I mean, that's kind of unusual. But it was for the outreach that we had. We showed our heart. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Amen? You know, everybody wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to fit in. I'll tell you how you fit in. Bless people. Love people. Help people. You'll start fitting in. People start listening to what you have to say. You earn the right to speak into people's lives. You earn the right to minister to them. A lot of times we minister to people, they don't hear us because they don't know us. But the more you do, and the more you show, you know, show your love, show your concern, the more they'll have an ear to hear what you're saying. That's the way God works, amen? This is His will. This is what He wants. He wants this church and every church that names the name of Christ to grow. And the way He does it is for us to walk in His ways and think His thoughts. Woo! Hallelujah. To give and bless and lift. Hallelujah. So He says this. He says, as the rain cometh down snow from heaven and turneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me a void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, and you be the thing He sent it to. God's word was meant to prosper in you. Amen. Amen. Prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Here comes the joy. Amen. Where does the joy come from? From the word of God being in your heart. From you walking in His ways. From you thinking His thoughts. All of a sudden, my, everything starts zippity-doo-dah-zippity-eight. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Amen. Mr. Bluebird's on your shoulder. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Because you're putting others first. You're helping others. You're blessing. You're walking righteously and holy and not wickedly. Amen. You're helping. You're blessing. You're doing like God does. You're part of the answer instead of part of the problem. And you know what? It comes back to you. Because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, God, man, God doesn't have down days, you know. He's always helping. He's always blessing. He's always giving. He's always lifting. And that reciprocates. God's static. He's not passive. He's always active. He's actively involved in this. He's not just love as a force. He is love actively out there loving and forgiving. And that just, it just comes back to Him. You know, in one sense, you think about it, He had to create to love. Because that's what He is. He's got to help. He's got to bless. He's got to, woo. Keeps Him alive, as it were. You know, of course, there's no death in Him. I'm just using the example. All examples break down somewhere. But if you want to live, just keep giving out. If you don't want to stagnate. Then you'll go out with joy. You'll be led forth. The peace, the mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Hallelujah, somebody. That's stability in our times, in a troubled world. Hallelujah. Turn over to Romans 8 chapter. This helping you? Well, stir yourself, see? I mean, think about it. You know, I know Mark and Melinda just got married yesterday, and I prayed over them Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Mark was sharing with me that he prays that all the time. He confesses that all the time, Deuteronomy 28. You turn to Romans 8. But Deuteronomy 28 tells us very plainly, and I said it already, that if we hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord our God and do that which is right in His sight and keep His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you, and blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. You be blessed coming in, you be blessed going out. I bless the work of your hand, cause the rain to come down your land in its season. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, that's God's will. That's by listening to His voice and doing His will, He blesses what we do. Praise God. It's a new way of thinking. I know it's not natural thinking. You got to hold on to it if you're going to keep it. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You got to look out for number one. No, that's not God's way of thinking at all. That's not understanding the will of the Lord. Understanding the will of the Lord is that if I give out, it'll come back to me. If I help others, I'll be blessed. If I try to save my life, I'll lose it. If I give my life, I'll find it. The laws of God are different than the laws in the natural. Totally different. Romans 8. Found it? Well, let me find it. Romans, the 8th chapter. I love this. Of course, he talks about grace. He talks about the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on down. He says this. 5th verse. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I love that. Now, if you just go after everything in this world, go after everything in the natural, and you just go after making yourself better and don't care about anybody else, go after number one, and you just care about number one, then that's going after the things of the flesh. There's nothing wrong with nice cars, nice homes, and God will bless you with it. I believe He will. He says He'll do that. Goodness, that's the result of obeying His word. But I'm going after Him, and they're coming after me. Y'all catching this? I'm going after Him. The blessings are coming after me. See, He says, if I hearken to His voice, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish or pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You put your soul right, you get your heart right, you start walking in God's ways and start understanding His will. His will is real simple. Just give yourself to others and bless others, live for others. Then all this other stuff will just come on you. Go after heaven, you get the earth thrown in free. All that you've been looking for, you'll find it in helping others get it. Yes. You help enough people succeed, you can't help but be a success. Wow. You love enough people, you just can't help but be loved. Amen. You can't. You reach out and encourage enough people, you can't help but be encouraged. You can get rid of your down days if you'll start reaching out to others. See, isn't that the inclination when depression comes in and it's to get in a closet and hide yourself? Why? Because the very way to come out of it is to get out there and help somebody. In fact, next time you feel down, call somebody up and pray for them and encourage them. Man, you'll beat that darkness right out of your life. Because this is the will of God. This is the way God works. God works differently than the world works. God works totally different. You give and it's given back. Up is down and down is up. It's totally different. Well, if I bring out tithe and give it, if I take 10% of my money and put it in the offering, are you kidding me? I won't have enough to pay my bills. Now wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. God said if you bring that and put it in the offering, He'd bless it. Isn't that what He said? Now, obviously, if you don't believe that, you don't need to bring it. And I'm sure not as a pastor trying to get your money. We don't want your money. Are you kidding? We want your heart. The money just is a part of it. It just comes with it. But if you're just doing it because you have to and you don't believe it, it won't work and you really do need to keep it. Because God's going to bless us and we're not even concerned about that. We know God's in what we're doing and so that's okay. We're fine. But you sure need to deal with that attitude. Are you with me? And the attitude should be that God said it works, I'm going to do it because He said it, and I know it's going to work, and I'm going to put my faith in this, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a part of something bigger than myself, and I know God's going to bless me back. Now, if you do the math, it doesn't work that way. That's kind of what separates us from the world, financially speaking, is we give money to the work of God with no natural guarantee of any return at all and without any expectation of the natural. We're just trusting God's word that it works. And we do more with 90% than the world does with 100%. Hallelujah. But there again, it's, you know, thinking the way God thinks. Amen. And looking at it from his standpoint and, you know, from his word. So we're not thinking naturally. Fifth verse. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, I've done a lot of missionary work. I still do missionary work. I remember when I first started doing missionary work back in 1980. I worked on a construction job. I taught at Lakewood Church at that time, and I taught the classes at Lakewood. Bern and I were head counselors at Lakewood at that time, and I started preaching out some, and I would just set money aside when I'd preach out for the mission trip, because it cost a lot of money to fly over to India and back. And I didn't have anybody supporting me. I mean, I wasn't sent out by Lakewood in that sense. We just went out, and so, you know, I had kids, and they eat food, and I lived in the house, and we had bills, and but I had this burning in me to do this. I just had a burning to do this. So I knew that if I'd honor God, you know, and that he would take care of us, and he always did. It was a leap when we came up here to Will's Point. I had three children by then, and we had two more since we got here, and 10 grandkids, and anyway, it just keeps going, 10, 13, 13, 14, 15 by the end of the year. I believe in multiplication. Anyway, it was a leap for us to come up here, you know, but I knew God told us to do that. I knew if we give ourselves to this that God would bless us. And we had challenges and we had tough times, but you know, we knew God told us to do what we're doing, and God is in the blessing business and his word is true, and this is the way it works. And we don't back off what God says, no matter what it looks like. Amen. No matter what the world tells us, no matter what we feel like, all that matters is what God said.
Amen.
I remember we got had a tough time in our church and met with Mo and Ron, and Brent and I, we sat down. We had some pretty tough decisions to make, whether we're going to start a bond program or something. We were so in debt that we moved in this building, and the bills, they just kept coming every month. And we were going through a tough time numerically. We had a lot of people that people moved, whatever reason. We had no split, but we didn't have the income that we had had when we first moved in the building. And the bills were just horrendous. And so, you know, we prayed about it, and we talked about bond. We talked about some things, and the Lord spoke to me that we need to increase our missions, that that's how we're going to get out of debt. Well, now, that didn't make any sense at all. Are you kidding me? In the natural, let's give more money. And I thought, okay. So we had the meeting. I talked to Ron and Mo, and, you know, God had spoke to Ron and Mo both about the same thing. In fact, Ron said, well, I think we ought to start supporting Walt and Eva in Mexico so much a month, and Mo said, yes, and you know what I think we ought to do? Every 6 months, we ought to increase our missions another $200. I'm thinking, you know, I just want to say this in a way that they'll receive it, and here they are. They're challenging my faith. I mean, it was a Holy Ghost meeting. It really was. I mean, God just moved on all of us. I think it was, wasn't it at your house, Ron? We had that meeting. I believe that's right, over at Ron and Betty's house. And you know, those things don't make sense in the natural. But that's the way God works.
Amen.
And that was a turning point in our church. It really was. That was 1995, I think, when we got aggressive, real aggressive with our missions, very aggressive with our giving. I mean, we increased it. We started increasing it when we really needed money in other areas. And little by little, God began to bless. And we started putting extra money, this V money that you see. We've been doing that for a few years already. And we were putting extra money on our bills and paying extra on the notes. You know, the V money that you see here, originally when we started that, Gary Upland heard the Holy Ghost. He came and ministered and shared that with us, and it just stuck with us. We started receiving V money. We would put it aside. At the end of the month, we'd put it on our note, right on the principal. Not interest, but right on the principal above our offering. I mean, above our payment. And so we had done that for a few years. We increased our missions in 1995. And we got down to where we owed $18,500 by August of 1997. And we were like over $200,000 in debt when we started this thing, I think, a few years before that. And man, we were excited. We had a plan by the end of the year we're going to get that completely paid off with the V money that we're putting on it. And we'd never took a special offering. Not against that, but we never did that. We just kept doing what God said. We kept giving to missions. We kept increasing our missions. And then you know the story. Jerry Savelle came and ministered here on our 15-year anniversary in 1997. And God spoke to him to pay our building off.
Hallelujah.
Now, how often does that happen? I've had a lot of people come through and preach, but I never had one pay our building off. I never even heard of that. I mean, how often do you hear about that? Oh, we had an evangelist come through and he just paid our building off. Has anybody ever heard of that? I mean, come on. Evangelists come through, or teachers come through, or ministers come through, and you give them offerings. They don't come through and pay your building off. And that was the furthest thing from my mind when he was preaching. In fact, I was thinking, boy, I want to give him a good offering. Boy, we're so blessed to have him here. And it was a great service. You know, it was our 15-year anniversary. And then he said that, and I mean, the crowd went wild. It took me a minute to register it because it just went right past me. It was at the end of the service. And he says, yeah, I don't do this for show. He said, but when I walked in here, the Spirit of God told me, well, actually shared how him and Carolyn had been praying about paying off church buildings. And when he walked in, he said, the Spirit of God spoke to me and says, this, God wants us to pay off this building. And they did. They wrote a check and paid off the building. Just never heard of something like that. But thank God, God does things like that. Amen? Why did he do that? I think it's because we honored him in missions giving. Then, of course, we started pouring concrete. We started paying cash on concrete, building buildings and paying cash on buildings. We could just go on about that. But you have to think differently. You have to understand the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is that you help people and that you never stop helping them. The will of the Lord is that you reach out to people and you bless people and you minister and pray for people and you never stop doing that. Oh, I'm having tough times now, so I'm going to stop doing it. No, don't stop. You just keep blessing. You keep loving. I don't care if you have a bad day. That's no excuse to chew out your husband, chew out your wife. Wow, I was doing so good. Then I got to meddling. Romans 8:5. Let's close this out. This helping you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we could just tell testimony after testimony in our own church about how this has been proven over and over and over in our lives. Supernaturally, how God has met and supplied needs, done things that we never even heard of. But you know, that's the way it happens around here. There's a Newsboys song out now. It says, "That's the way we roll, because we've been set free." And around here, miracles happen all the time. Okay, fifth verse says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Think about it. As long as you're thinking fleshly and walking fleshly, you cannot please God. You cannot trust God. You cannot believe God. You're not subject to the law of God. You're not subject to miracles. You're not subject to supernatural provision. It won't happen to you. But if you get out of the flesh and start trusting God, you all of a sudden become subject to the law of God, and life and peace visits your house. Hallelujah. It'll visit your marriage. It'll visit your business. If you'll put Him first and start thinking God's thoughts and acting in God's ways. If you'll be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and start living that out in your life and live for others, you'll be blessed. I am called to be a blessing. I'm not just called to be blessed. I am called to be a blessing. You are called to be a blessing. That's how God works. Amen. And that is His will. Hallelujah.